And now, yes, Lord. Is it, you can hear me now? People on TV, can you hear me now? I think so. We're good. All right. I can hear myself, so we're good. Good morning. Man, worship was so good this morning. Thanks, Matt and the praise team. You guys did a great job. Let's give them a hand. So we're wrapping up this series today. This is my last time for this time, and then Steve will jump in with a new series starting next week, and we're pretty excited. But this series has been called Overflow, and we've been talking about how God's love will overflow from our hearts and into the lives of other people. And we've been using the example of a bucket and a well, basically how we dip water from a well. And we've talked about our vessel and our hearts from day one, and how John the Baptist came in and he kind of prepared the way for Jesus. And he began to we can basically say that our hearts began to be prepared for the love of Jesus. And people traveled from afar to go see John the Baptist. And what they were seeking was forgiveness and cleansing, right? And so kind of that's where we started off with our own hearts and our own lives is seeking forgiveness from God, that he would be able to overflow. And then what would happen is that we had these buckets that maybe they weren't new. Maybe they had holes all in them, and maybe they were broken and messed up. And so we talked about how God used the woman at the well to teach us that sometimes our hearts need to be repaired. And sometimes our hearts have holes in them, and sometimes our hearts have different things that go in. And maybe we're not just our hearts are broken, but maybe we're breaking other people's hearts by the way that we treat them because of their race, their gender, their past, their situations, their status. And there's all kinds of things that kind of went along with that. And of course, last week we talked about the ultimate of serving and how we are to serve others. And Jesus served the disciples by washing their feet and humbling himself in the most amazing way to teach us and to show us how to love others through serving, and that God's love would overflow our hearts to the point that we would desire to go and share that love with other people and serve other people, even doing things that maybe we didn't want to do, or think we could do, or think we should do, but we did it because God's love called us to do that. And so this week we're gonna wrap this thing up with a nice little bow, but we're gonna kind of shift gears just a tad. So today's message is called "Whoa, Baby." Everybody say "Whoa, Baby." Whoa, baby. At home too, you're supposed to be saying "Whoa, Baby." All right. And so you ever had that moment in your life, you're like, whoa, hold on, that something was just so overwhelming or something was just so amazing that you literally had no other words but to say, whoa, baby, like, wow, like, this is amazing. Have you ever been there? You ever traveled across the world or traveled across America? Maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon and you stood at the edge of the rock and you're like, whoa, that's amazing. Or maybe you've been to the Badlands in South Dakota and seen the most amazing sunset that you've ever seen in your entire life. It beats a Florida sunset all day. And you're like, whoa, baby, that's amazing. Or you've had something happen to you. Maybe it was a bad thing. Maybe something bad happened to you and it was kind of overwhelming. This past week, I had an overwhelming situation happen. Our community was burglarized, and so like every house in our neighborhood practically was burglarized. And for me, I was like, oh, we were the only ones. But then you talk to somebody, and you're all your neighbors in the whole street right here in Simpsonville, and we're like, this is overwhelming. And the stuff that happened and the vehicles that were stolen and the all this kind of stuff, and that's kind of overwhelming. So do you understand what I'm saying? There's moments in your life that it could be amazing moments and you're overwhelming. They can be kind of sad moments and you're like disappointing moments that could be overwhelming. It could be hurtful moments that are overwhelming, but you understand that thought of being overwhelmed and overtaken by some sort of emotion, right? It could be a death, it could be a birth, it could be a wedding. We went to an amazing wedding yesterday and it was beautiful and hot. It was so hot and the heat was so overwhelming. It like literally was just like, I'm dying. I don't want to participate in hell just because I'm imagining the heat and things, and that's kind of overwhelming. And so today we're going to be talking about how we're going to be moving from God's love and it overflowing from our heart to God's love being overwhelming. And it being in this place where it literally just overwhelms us because of the beauty and the majesty of his love. And how he's going to do that and how he's going to show that and what he's going to do. And so if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open them up to Revelation chapter 21. That's where we're going to be landing this morning. I know it's odd sometimes to be, you know, preaching out of Revelation. A lot of people don't do it, but I feel like this passage is something we can do. And so, we have all this stuff that, you know, truthfully, our hearts aren't strong enough really to deal with the overflow of God's love. That we've got to have his strength to even understand what it's like to have this love from God that overflows inside of us. And so, like, even, like, you know, the moments that you're backslidden or moments that you experience pain or the moments you do, you know that you have to rely on the love of God to overflow your heart, to overtake those things inside of your life. And without those things, you crumble. Without those things, you crush under the pressure. And you know because you've been there. You've tried to deal with the issues of life and you've tried to deal with the things of life by yourself. And the truth is that you're never meant to do it by yourself, right? Because we know that God loves us. We know that the intention of God is to walk this road with us, to carry us along the way. He didn't create you to do it by yourself. He created you to rely on him for your strength, to rely on him for the overflowing love that he will provide for you if you seek that out. Now, we take our buckets, our hearts, our vessels into our own hands. And what happens? Well, we get dented up like this bucket. You probably can't see it, but it's dented. And then we have to take our duct tape and we have to try to fix it. And we have to try to do these things. And so hopefully through this series, you begin to understand that without God, you will always have a bucket that's going to be in disrepair. That there is nothing that will ever cleanse or heal or put your bucket back into place without God. And so when we look at this passage of scripture, hopefully today we will see how God's plan is to love us and that he wants to pour his love into us for eternity. But the way that we receive that love will change. Because currently, we have to love by dipping our buckets into this well, into this goodness of God. But soon we'll see after this passage of scripture today and how God chooses to change how that love is provided for you. So we're going to be looking at this passage in Revelation. It's 21. And so, John wrote the book of Revelation. If you don't know, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that it's at the back. It's one of those books of prophecies. So there's a lot of things in Revelation that haven't happened yet. And it's a book of things to come. And we get excited about that. Man, we talk about, you know, it is well with my soul. When the trump will resound, man, yes, right? I mean, you're like trying to jump out of your skin. Lord, sound the trumpet. Let's go, right? Is anybody else in the room with me on that? Sound the trumpet. Let's go, right? There's all kinds of stuff going on. Let's go home. Let's just do it. John, it's the end times. I know it. Well, you don't really know it because the Lord says he's coming like a thief in the night. So you don't know. You can't say that. Okay, but I get it. I'm with you. I feel like it's the same way. There's all this. John, there's one current. No cash. I get it. But listen, we're going to rely on the scriptures to lead us in these things and not to let the media or society or anyone else tell us what to believe or how to believe, right? We're going to look at what God's word says and we're going to lean into that and we're going to lean on what God says on purpose because his word is truth, right? So John was this disciple of God and God gave him this vision. I couldn't imagine being John in this moment because there's this like, you know, you want me to what? What you talking about, Willis? You want me to say what? You know, okay, hold on one second, right? And so Jesus, you know, God gives John this glimpse of what's to come, and John has to somehow write this down to where you and I can understand it. I mean, have you tried to read Revelation before? I mean, let's just be honest for 2 seconds. You almost want to be like, John, were you on drugs when you wrote this stuff? Things flying around covered in eyeballs. What are you talking about? This is heaven that I want to be a part of? Like, angels that are towering? Or, you know, you're like, holy cow. This is not really a holy cow, but you understand what I'm saying, right? And so for some of us, you know, Revelation is a little bit cryptic. It's hard to read. But the cool thing about Revelation is that it's still to come. And it's amazing and spectacular when you think of God's creation and you think, you haven't even seen a glimpse of what I can do. You haven't even seen a little bit of how I'm going to blow your mind. And literally, God is telling John, write this down. And you know it's important when people say, write this down. I'm going to give you some truth in this matter. So that's kind of where we are. And it's hard for John to communicate this stuff because I can imagine the things that he, this vision that he got to see. But the truth is, we're going to jump into that. So open your Bible, Revelation chapter 21. We're only going to be in verses 1 through 8. This is a real famous passage of scripture among kids especially. You know, they sing that song, Revelation 21:8, liars go to hell. Y'all ever heard that song? Revelation 21:8, liars go to hell, liars go to hell, burn, burn, burn. Y'all never said that when y'all were kids? Yeah, like, so if somebody lies to you, be like, liars go to hell, better watch out, Revelation 21:8. So here we go, let's jump in, Revelation 21:8. I'm reading from the ESV version. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Okay, I'm going to go back just 3.5 seconds, because this is one of those moments in the Bible where you literally should be jumping out of your skin. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Yeah. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Thank you, Jesus. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But, here we go. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Let's pray. Father, your word is true and accurate. And Father, we pray that this morning, God, that you will teach us, that you will show us, Father, what you have to come. And Father, that we can rely on you. We can rely on your word and Father, how you are overwhelming us with your love and truth and how you are overwhelming us the way that you move in our own lives. God, we pray that this morning will bring honor to you. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage of scripture is really describing, right, this new world that God is going to create, right? Heaven coming down, right? The first heaven is gone. The seas are gone. This new earth, this new heaven, here it comes, right? And we're preparing for this, right? And so God's bringing in this whole deal because the world's going to go away. And then this new world's going to come. Thank God that this new world's going to come, right? Because we're not going to have any of the problems that we have. But the passage says, new heaven and new earth. And thank God, it is completely different than what it is now. It is a new heaven. It is a new earth. And so many times we are short-term visioned when it comes to God, right? We have this such nearsightedness that we think that, you know, well, God's going to work in my heart today. God's going to work in my heart yesterday, or God's going to do something. You know, but there's so much long-term vision to this deal that God is bringing. And the truth is that we want to make sure that we're bringing as many people as we can. Instead of us being so short-sighted, let's be long-sighted. Let's see the end and the new world and the new vision that God has come. And he's going to bring these things to us. Now, it's important for us to love people today, absolutely. It's important for us to do these things, but at the same time, we can't forget that this is a new world, a new heaven, a new earth that is going to come. And I don't know about you, but I want my friends to experience this new world, this new heaven, this new place, because this world is so broken, right? Surely, right? You been on Facebook lately? Like, half of my friends are taking like these, like, I'm getting off Facebook, I can't take it anymore, I'm leaving, I can't handle all this. You know, it's like, come on. You know, the news, it's all you turn on. Oh, there was so many negative. And you're like, is there anything good happening? Yes, that's what's good is the new heaven and the new earth is coming. It is coming. Did you read your scriptures? It didn't say it might come. It didn't say maybe I'll come. It said I'm coming and I'm bringing heaven to earth with me to dwell among you. Amen? This is that moment where we're like, yes, the Bible says that he's going to make all things new. Thank you, Jesus, for that, right? So in this new world that Jesus is going to bring down with him, right? God's love is not going to overflow anymore. God's love is going to overwhelm. It's going to overwhelm. And you read this in the scriptures and you see in this passage right here how God's love is going to be so overwhelming just in this little bit right here. We're not even talking about the multitudes of people that are going to be worshiping and singing hallelujah and hosanna and you are the king and you are the one. But this is just talking about how beautiful this amazing moment is going to be, right? He's got so much more planned for us, so much more spectacular things. Because honestly, let's take a second to think about your life. You've had some pretty spectacular things happen before, right? You've traveled places. You've seen things. Your children have been born. You've adopted kids. You've been a part of great families. You've been a part of bad families. But the truth is that God has been glorified and honored in all of these things, and you've seen some pretty amazing things. But God is going to do something even more spectacular, even more glorious than what you've already experienced. And we hope and pray for that day to come. We hope and pray for that day to come soon, not later, right? That's our prayer. And I think that's everybody's prayer along the way for thousands of years. Lord, please come soon. Because you know that when Jesus left, and he's like, hey, I'm coming back to fix a place for you. All the disciples and everybody was like, he's coming back tomorrow. Let's go. Okay, we'll give it 3 days. We'll give it 3 days. He came back in 3 days. We'll give it 3 more days. And then 3 more days went, and then 3 more days went, and then 3 more days. And they're like, Lord, are you going to come back? So this has been a prayer, and it's our prayer. How many times have you prayed that prayer? Lord, Jesus, just come soon. Right? Just come soon. You sing songs like that, and you're like, yes, if the Lord came back right now, I would be happy. I want to show you a picture. Billy, if you could help me pull that picture up. This is a car. This is not any just particular car. This is my first car. Now, this is not the exact first car that I had, meaning like it's not a picture of my first car because there's like a British flag up there or whatever. But I had a 1978 Honda Accord hatchback. My aunt gave me this car. It had about 200,000 miles on it when I got it. Okay, and so it kind of puttered around, you know. You know, cars back then weren't quiet and nice. I mean, it was like, and that wasn't with pipes or anything like that. I mean, it was just the muffler was bad. You know, the interior was pretty decent, but the car had it had been faded by the sun so bad that it was no longer maroon as seen in the picture. It was like a pinkish color. The sun had kind of oxidized it, you know, and, you know, there wasn't really any waxing the car at this point. It was just bad, okay? And so, anyway, my aunt sold us this car, you know, and when she got it, it had tons of miles on it, and so I kind of just inherited it. And the deal was, like, it was my car, though. Does that make sense? Like, it was my car. It wasn't, like, somebody else's car. It was my car, and I was the one that got to drive this car, and I was as bad of a shape as it was in, you know, and so it would kind of have, like, random problems to it, and we'd have to, you know, fix it and do different things with it and stuff like that, and so, you know, it just broke down, you know, every now and then, and eventually it just broke down so much that we couldn't fix it anymore. Y'all follow me? Y'all understand? Y'all ever had a car like that? You're like, forget it. We're done with this junk. You know, and this car, it's over. you're going to go get me a new car today, or whatever the case may be, right? You know, it's just sometimes you just have that vehicle and it just breaks and it breaks and it breaks and it breaks. And you're like, look, I paid cash for this thing. I don't have a car payment. And all the money that you could have spent on a new car, you kind of, you know, spent on repairing your old, broke down, nasty jalopy. Okay. And that's kind of how it went. So, I ended up having to get a new car. You know, there's a lot of us right now that are just driving around with hearts that have so many miles on it. Hearts that are just so broken. Hearts that are just have been in accidents. They've needed repairs. And so you took the duct tape to it and the car's been ridden into the ground. It's like when you get a rental car and you just floor it everywhere you go. You know, sorry, Mike. It's what you just did when you rented a car or whatever, and your heart's kind of that way, and your heart's been, you know, it's become filthy, and it's been scrubbed clean, and it's been filthy, and it's been scrubbed clean before, and it just wears and wears and wears, and sometimes you just need a new one. And the truth of the matter is this, that the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus makes all things new. He's the only one that will make that new again. He is the only way that that will be new again. He is the only one that will take that hurt and that nasty and that gross heart. But the first way that happens is the new earth and the new heavens are going to come. And when the new heaven and the new earth comes, there's not going to be this distance between me and you and me and God. God will dwell among us, is what the Bible says, so that I won't have to think to myself, well, what's it going to be like? Well, I'm going to know what it's going to be like when heaven comes, because I will get to experience God and God's love from a firsthand experience. I'm no longer going to be dipping into a well to receive God's love. God's love will be directly handed to me by the one who created the love. And that, in my heart, should make us celebrate, right? Yeah, that should make you be like, yes, Lord, right? So when God comes down, there's no more dwelling. There's no more their problem. The systems of oppression and hurt and pain and all of those things that are surrounding you at this moment in your life are no more. They're completely gone away. We won't be ruled by a government, a hurtful community. There's no sexism or prejudice or racism or anything like that. There'll be no more of those things. No one will be treated badly. No one will be excluded. No one will have any of those things to deal with, because God in his perfectness will be perfect before us, making us perfect before him, because that's the promise of God. I will glorify you and I will make you whole, because I will make all things new. And when he says all things, it doesn't mean like one little bitty piece of my life that I have messed up or one little bitty corner of my life. He says all things. We will no longer be subject to the things that we experience today, because his perfect nature and perfect world will be brought directly to us in every sense. And there will be no more hurt, and there will be no more pain. And you will no longer have to wonder or worry, because when that old world disappears and this new world comes, Jesus will wipe away every single tear. Broken hearts will be healed for good. There will be no more tears. And that is that's an exciting moment. That's a moment of jubilation for all. I wasn't going to say jubilate moment, but I don't know that that's a word or not. But maybe I just made it up. But see, the cool thing is that God will heal us, right? There's going to be no more death, no more mourning, crying, or pain, for the old things have gone away, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 really takes place here. You know, I am making all things new. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm getting excited because this is exciting. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. And Paul is getting excited to say, hey, look, there's this newness that's coming to you. You just got to hang in there. You just got to hold on, because God's love is going to do something in you, and he's going to change something in you that you've never experienced before in your life. But you got to hang on. You got to wait. You got to hold on. Fight through all of this stuff that's going on, because there is good things coming. And nothing will separate you from God. And see, there's this part of this vision in Revelation where John has kind of revealed something. Revelation, this isn't, you can look in your Bible if you want to, but Revelation 20:6-7 says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so God is saying, hey, you are going to be reigning with me. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison. And see, John has seen this vision of what's to come, and John has seen this vision of what's going to happen, right? And he wrote it down, because that's what God said. He said, hey, write this stuff down, right? And so we can anticipate what's going to happen in the future, and we can know what's going to happen in the future, that, hey, look, you can choose to accept Christ now, and you won't have to deal with these things. And when he comes back, he's coming back. But then the devil is going to be let loose at one point. And you kind of feel like right now in your life, like, hey, the devil's let loose. And if this ain't the devil let loose, then I don't want to be a part of what's going on right now. I mean, if I don't want to be a part of it right now, I don't want to be a part of it then, in the end times, right? When there's this reign of the devil and he comes back and there's all this fighting and hurting and ickiness that's going on. This is real, right? But see, the problem is this, that God doesn't want us to focus on that. What we're going to focus on is that the system of overflow that God is bringing to us now is no longer going to be a system of overflow, but a system of overwhelming with God's love. It's going to be overwhelmed by what God is doing. Do you know that God is at work in our church? Okay, so I'll ask that again. Do you know that God is at work in our church? How do you know? Don't answer that out loud. How do you know that? Because I sat around and I said, okay, thanks, Ryan. You said that you believe that God is at work in our church. Well, give me a direct example of how God is working in our church. You would have to come up with something. You'd have to defend what you just said, right? And so I want to give you a few statistics about our church real quick. Over the past year, do y'all know that we've had a Hispanic church here at this church for 25 years? They've been a part of this church, Simpsonville Baptist Church, for 25 years. This year, that Hispanic church bought a building. And they will now be their own, literal own, like, church. And Simpsonville Baptist Church was a major part of that deal. You as a church were a major part of that. Do y'all know that we have Sunday school teachers here who have taught here for 58 years? There's a Sunday school teacher here who has taught for 58 years. That's longer than a lot of you are alive. Maybe not some, Mike Wilman, sorry. You were close. But there's people here who've been Sunday school teachers for 18 years, for 10 years, for 5 years. There are people who are dedicated and committed to teaching within this church, and that's amazing. Do you know that there's a Sunday school class who has literally been doing ministry at Colonial Hall for over 10 years straight? That is overwhelming to think about the ministries that are taking place in that deal. Do you know that this Adventure Club here, started out with 7 kids and 3 adults? That's how it started. In an old chapel basement. Ew. In the basement over there. And now, currently, today, it serves over 111 kids in this building. Now, before COVID, pre-COVID, we were above 180. Okay, I want you to think about that one more time. We went from 7 kids to 180 kids and the way that God is using that. Now think about those kids, think about the families that are reached, and those families that are reached, think about the people that they reach because of that, and God's hands go all over that deal. That's overwhelming to think about. Do you know that last year we had 42 new members to this church? There were 21 by baptism alone. Now I get it, COVID's kind of skewed a little bit of this stuff, you know, it's kind of set us back just by a little bit, but I want to tell you a really cool fact here. We have this thing called the Barnabas Ministry. And they're in the Barnabas ministry. What they do is they reach out to new members. They send kind of encouragement cards and things. So if you've ever kind of gotten a card in the mail, somebody's like, you know, maybe you've just had a tough time, or maybe you've had, you know, something go on and you've got a card from somebody in the mail. We have this ministry that says, hey, you know what? We're gonna send these people cards, because it's always exciting to receive actual mail, not like an email. You're like, oh, thanks for the email. But a card, you know, that people have gone out of their way to write something down, to mail it to you. It's intense, right? There were over 352 contacts last year by that one ministry in this church. Do you understand how big of a deal that is? That's a major ordeal, right? Again, we can keep going on, and I can talk about, you know, during the COVID process, we've served over 400 families. From March to now, there's been over 400 families that we've been able to reach out to through feeding, through groceries, through all these different things, gas cards, food cards, all kinds of fun stuff, right? It's amazing. And so God is literally doing all of this stuff and overwhelmingly using our church for his ministry. And see, the truth is that we're not going to need buckets to receive God's love anymore. Like I said earlier, he's going to hand you this love, because you're going to be there with him. And that in itself is going to be overwhelming, right? God's salvation at your fingertips, right? Free and abundant. Remember, the Bible said without payment, you are able to take this. And so today, as the band comes, I'm inviting you to live this life of overflow, and that your overflow would change from overflow into overwhelming, and that you would embrace this overwhelming love of God, and that we would anticipate his coming, to live in hope as we await God's kingdom, who will come on us because it's promised. And we will live each moment overwhelmed by God's love and by what he's done and how he's provided for us. And the truth is, God is not done with you yet. Amen? God is not done with you yet. He has more to do in you. See, with all the turmoil, all the hurt, all the injustice, all the racism, all the fighting, all the everything that's going on, the arguing, the da-da-da-da-da, all the division that's going on. See, the devil is singing this song over you and your community and your state and everywhere. But the problem is that the devil has forgot one important and major thing. Jesus saves. He is the one who will overcome all of those things. He is the one who's going to make all things new. He is the one that's going to bring us all back together in the way that he originally created it to be when heaven comes to earth to dwell with us. And for me, that's extremely overwhelming to think about how God's love can change from overflowing in my heart to overwhelming my life. So my challenge for you this morning is to allow God's love to overwhelm your life. That you would allow God's love to overwhelm all aspects of your life so you can bring the hope of salvation to those who need it. Let's pray. God, you are an awesome God, and we love that you are bringing heaven to earth. And Father, we love that you are going to be in control of that. And God, it's in your time, and we trust that. But Father, we pray that you would come quickly. Father, we pray that you would come and end the hurt and end the division and end all of the things that we're dealing with, Father. But you would heal us, and that you would heal your land, Father. Because it's about you and your love. And God, we pray that we would be vessels used by you. God, that we would be overwhelmed by your goodness and by your grace. And Father, that we would be challenged to go. And Father, that we would bring others with us, Father, as we beg and plead and pray for you to come. But in the meantime, Father, we pray that you would do your work. And that you would prepare those hearts and prepare the way, Father, and that you would bring healing and forgiveness, Father, because you make all things new. And Father, I pray this morning that you would do work in our hearts. God, if there's someone who's listening or watching, or Father, someone who's here, God, that needs to accept you as their Savior, Father, that you would penetrate their hearts. That you would bring them to a saving knowledge of you, Father. They would admit that they're a sinner, Father. They believe in you and confess that you are Lord. That you would save them, Father. because salvation only comes through Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would do work. Father, you would do work in our hearts. If we're believers and we're just hurt, Father, we pray that you would bring healing. Father, we could celebrate your goodness in the way that you answer our prayers. Father, we love you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.